other. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, 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 in the last hour, we talked to the executive director of the Continuity of Government Commission, part of the American Enterprise Institute, funded by the Carnegie, Hewlett-Packard, and MacArthur Foundations. And President Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford are the co-chairs of it. But we have the executive director on, telling us how horrible the basic martial law plan is, and that, well, we could have somebody in the government go in and take out members of Congress for martial law. I mean, I brought that up, and he said, oh, yeah, that's a real problem. I mean, even when we've got establishment people, again, telling you this is a problem, their plan was to have an amendment, which I think was dangerous enough, to have the states appoint members to Congress if they were incapacitated or killed, and they couldn't get a quorum of 218. The new law that was passed by Congress that no one was even aware of, we talked about it here on the broadcast before it passed, but it was nowhere in the news. This baby passed a month ago, a month and 3 days ago, is basically total martial law. Three members of Congress can, if others just aren't even there, it just says if they aren't there, they can pass whatever they want. And so we talked about that. Coming up, we're going to get into the merger of man and machine with one of the top scientists in the world on this subject. Right now, let's talk to Troy in Washington. Troy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, you mentioned the Federal Reserve Act, and earlier mentioned about the $2.4 trillion missing, I think it was.
Yes.
What would happen if, and I know you're for it, is the abolishment of the Federal Reserve. What would happen if we just said, you know what, we don't want a private entity control of our monetary system anymore in the U.S. government?
Well, the government would just take control of it and then remonetize the debt. There's a whole formula to do it. Ron Paul's done bills on it. I've had top economists on. There's a way to do it, and the debt is fraudulent. It's designed to implode. It's designed to get us into financial servitude, and there are procedures that have been introduced as bills to get out of this.
But they won't do it.
Yeah, and the system's designed to fail.
Amazing. Well, that's all I wanted to know, because I was thinking, well, I wonder if they tried to abolish the Federal Reserve, if that would have an effect on, you know, just our national debt, if they were to switch over powers.
There's a lot we could do. The problem is that the globalists don't want that, because it doesn't give them control. Thanks for the call, Troy. Who's up next here? Richard in Texas. Go ahead, Richard.
How you doing, Alex?
Good, sir.
I just had a question about Nisara.
It's not real.
Not real.
Not real.
Okay, how about H.R. 418, Section 102? I'm curious if you're familiar with the Strategic Service Branch.
Well, I mean, you're not even... You just gave me some numbers. Numbers to what?
It's a bill concerning... A strategic service branch they're trying to set up.
Is it S or HR? I don't.
Yeah, HR 418.
I'm not familiar with that particular bill. The name sounds like it's part of the National AmeriCorps, Secure Corps, new compulsory national service to get out of high school. That's also rolled into things like S89, which is the National Compulsory Service Act, Universal Service Act. But I don't know. I'm not familiar with this particular piece of legislation.
Okay.
Do you have it in front of you? What does it say?
It talks about no, I actually don't have it in front of me, but it basically talks about setting up a branch to investigate here in America.
Oh, a Stasi group.
Yes, that's it.
New funding for the TIPS program. Well, they've already got that under several different programs they broke it up into 2 years ago when Dick Armey put on that little theater display of getting rid of the TIPS system. I mean, TIPS is in full force under, what, three different programs? And so I guess this new bill you're mentioning may be funding that. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. Thank you for the call. We'll be back with our next guest. You do not want to miss this interview. I'm Alex Jones, your host. InfoWars.com is the website.
Hey, folks, Alex Jones here, and I'm very excited to announce the release of my bombshell documentary film, 911, The Road to Tyranny, on DVD. That's right, folks, DVD. The original film was 144 minutes long. The DVD version is 170 minutes. If you want to wake up your friends and families to the truth of what happened on September 11th, this is the film for you. The Road to Tyranny is already sending shockwaves through Washington and across the United States. You absolutely must see this DVD. It covers the history of government-sponsored terrorism, the police state and homeland security, the nightmare UN population control programs, the cashless society control grid, satellite tracking, implantable microchips, and much, much more. Bottom line, this film is waking people up. Order your copy on VHS or DVD today, and man the guns of the InfoWar. Order right now by calling 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. Again, that number, 888-253-3139.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
So what's in your shampoo, bath soap, and dish soap? Chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodiums, formaldehydes, etc.? Read the labels. Inhaling exposure can lead to coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, headache, and nausea. Also may be irritating to the skin and mucous membranes and cause you to seek medical help. Perfumes, also known as fragrance on a label, can indicate the presence of thousands of separate ingredients. Now, just by one example, here's what's in my Calben Pure Soap Shampoo. It's all natural, earth-friendly, it contains extra virgin cocoa butter oils and vegetable protein oils. No harsh chemicals, no animal tallow or testing. So what are you waiting for? Call now, 1-800-340-7091, and find out how a family of four can save over $1,000 per year on all their cleaning products with Calben Pure Soaps. Call Calben toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 800-340-7091, or visit CalbenPureSoap.com.
Mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're now 8 minutes and 40 seconds into the second hour, second segment of this hour. I'm Alex Jones, your host. The websites are InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. If you go to InfoWars.com, you can link through to our next guest website, the World Transhumanist Association for the Ethical Use of Technology to Extend Human Capacities. And we have Dr. James J. Hughes, and he's the executive director of the World Transhumanist Association, and he is a Ph.D. He's the author of Citizen Cyborg, Why Democratic Societies Must Respond to the Redesigned Human of the Future. Dr. Hughes teaches health policy at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, and serves as Trinity's associate director of international or institutional research and planning. Dr. Hughes also serves as executive director of the World Transhumanist Association as its affiliated Institute for Ethics and Emerging Technologies. Dr. Hughes produces the weekly syndicated public affairs talk show. And he also, again, is just involved. Basically, I would call him kind of a futurist. And we're now joined by him. Dr. Hughes, good to have you on with us.
Hi, Alex.
I've got a bunch of different reports here. Here's one out of the Village Voice. Cyborg Liberation Front inside the Movement for Post-Human Rights. Sounds like something like a legal entity out of a Larry Niven book or something.
Well, that article is a report on a conference that we held at Yale University last summer, or the summer before last. And we focused that conference on trying to get a dialogue going between the transhumanist movement and bioethics. Bioethicists in general, we believe, have some implicit sympathies with our point of view, but weren't aware of it until we held that conference.
And what is your point of view? What does your organization that you head do?
Well, we have a couple different facets. One is that we're a civil rights movement for people who believe that they should be able to control their own bodies, their own brains, their own reproductive capacities, and use emerging technologies to go beyond what some people consider yucky or the natural limits of the human condition. So, for instance, we are adamant supporters of life extension technology. We think that people have a right to use that, even if other people think that you shouldn't live past 120 or that's unnatural for you to do that. We're advocates of people's right to take drugs, for instance, cognitive enhancement drugs that make them smarter or genetic engineering that makes them smarter. We are advocates of people's right to control their own bodies for aesthetic purposes. The simple body modifications that we see around us today and the things that will come in the future. And we believe in people's right to reproductive freedom. We think that you shouldn't be told what kinds of children to have, when, and how to have them.
Well, the problem with some of your statements is that there are inherent dangers in genetic engineering, what type of viruses or bacteria they can give rise to, what changing the basic code of the DNA can do. I mean, I've had a lot of different top scientists on about the subject. Even people that support almost unbridled research admit that there are great dangers. Are you saying there shouldn't be restrictions on any of it?
Well, we're principally concerned with biotechnologies that affect the human body, and so we're not... we do have opinions, personal opinions.
You start talking about what type of children people want to have. I mean, the British government's already talking about pre-screening embryos, quote, to see if they're violent or propensity to be evil, thought criminals. I mean, whatever you guys are going to push, the state's going to jump on later.
Well, that's one point of view, and the notion that we can somehow prevent the state from eventually getting involved in biotechnology in order by forbidding individuals from using biotechnology, I think, is a wrong-headed approach.
What they're going to do is they're going to keep it all for themselves and use the movements that are against it to monopolize it for the elite. I mean, look, I know the elite's obsessed with life extension technology. They want to hold on to it forever. They don't want to die. In fact, who does? But the point is that I don't see the elite ever letting 6.5 billion people, and by the time this stuff's viable, 8-9 billion people have access to this. In fact, they've even said that.
Well, I think you may be right. I think there is a strong propensity on the part of certain elites, and we certainly see that in the Bush administration, to raise a bunch of bogus fears about the ways that individuals, free individuals and free societies might use these technologies. And and some of it is, for instance, that they don't want overpopulation to run rampant, as if saving human lives today with medical technology and allowing people today to use birth control isn't already driving population growth around the world. I mean, there is clearly a genocidal or population control mentality on the part of some of the opponents of life extension technology.
But when you read a article like Why the Future Doesn't Need Us by Bill Joy, or you read Age of Spiritual Machines, and I'm sure you've read all that.
Sure.
The elite, and I mean, I've been around pretty high-level academics and people, and all they talk about is, the people bomb. We've got to restrict them. We need access to this, but not them. And I see it all being walled off behind a wall of national security, kind of these technological Mount Olympus is being built, and then the general public basically being shut out of the entire process, with the elite then using these technologies to actually, to use a Frank Herbert term, kind of engineer and suboid the general population. Comments?
I think there is a possibility that things could go in that direction. I think that's, again, why we call ourselves a human rights movement. We want But in the first place, we believe in the legitimacy of institutions like the Food and Drug Administration, because we do think that these new technologies should be tested for their safety. But then we also believe that there should be as wide access to these as possible. And we don't think that bans on any of these technologies will stop despotic governments, either our own or other despotic governments, from using these technologies for police purposes, for surveillance purposes, for military purposes. And so the best way to maintain freedom and liberty around the world is for people to have as widespread and as individual access to these technologies as possible.
The problem is there's going to be terrorist attacks using these high-tech systems. Of course, it'll be the global crime syndicate engaging in the attacks to then, excuse me, restrict and control. Comments?
Well, I don't know why that's necessarily a problem. From our point of view, it is a problem. I mean, there's always going to be crime, and criminals are always going to use new technologies. But we saw that the 9/11 terrorists only had to use box cutters. So I think that the modern world is a dangerous and fragile place. And one of the best things that we can do as citizens is keep our bodies and our communities strong. And using these technologies, we can do that. You know, for instance, we can either rely on the government to go out there and identify certain kinds of new bioterrorist weapons that might come online, or we can all keep our immune systems as strong as possible and thereby, as a body public, in other words, be prepared for some of these bioterrorism attacks better than if we rely on the government.
Yeah, earlier I was doing the rare thing of trying to eat a hamburger in between you talking, and I was about to choke there, but I'm back, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Dr. James J. Hughes, and he's the executive director of the World Transhumanist Association, and their website is transhumanism.org. We have a link to it on Infowars.com. Dr., you know, you say men with box cutters carrying out terror attacks. That's a whole other subject for debate, but that's basically an impossibility when you actually look at the evidence. But I'm not going to debate you on that subject. I see puppets like Bush using good Christian conservatives, who I count myself among them, saying, oh, we've got to block and control all of this, to go back to my previous point. So then the elite can basically ban everything except for themselves. Can you comment more on that?
Well, I think that there is a point to that. One of the things that we're very concerned about is that if these technologies are forbidden, it won't mean that they won't be available, that just the people will just have to pay to go to someplace like Singapore or Beijing in order to get these genetic engineerings or these nanotechnologies, whatever.
But that's why they want global governments, so they can have global laws.
Well, we probably differ on that. I do think there should be global regulation of some of these technologies, but I think it should be regulation that respects people's individual liberty.
Look at the UN. They give awards to China for being the model nation, and they have hardly any freedoms. So,
well,
I mean,
I understand your point about that, and I'm also concerned that some of the regulations that are being proposed at the UN could be drastically conservative. So, for instance, there's right now a disability rights convention that's being debated, and some of the radical disability rights folks who are crafting that proposed legislation are arguing that there should be an international ban on women's right to reproductive freedom over fetuses that might, if they want to terminate pregnancies where they have a disabled fetus or a handicapped fetus. And I think that most people would find that an extremely troubling restriction on women's liberty if...
There you go. You're talking about human engineering by law being authorized, and then, see, your argument is, well, it's a deformed baby, but, see, then it's going to be the government, and I'm against abortion, by the way, then it's going to be the government coming out and saying, oh, you show aggressive tendencies, we're going to have to terminate this embryo, and you're going to have to, you know, come back in for testing on your next one.
What I'm talking about is that women have a right to know the contents of their own bodies and to make decisions about whether to continue pregnancies. And I think that one of the most dramatic reasons why a woman would want to terminate a pregnancy is if she found out it was severely handicapped in some way. And I think women have a right to make that decision. So we'll just have to agree to disagree a bit about that.
Well, I want to talk more about your organization. I want to get your futurist view on what life will be like in 20 years.
Sure.
When we get back, I appreciate you joining us. And we shall return on the other side of this quick break if I don't choke on the hamburger. Stay with us.
To the farthest corners of the earth, explorers are willing to put all their wealth and skill into mapping every corner of the world, and they did. But you can still hold the world in the palm of your hand. Achieve financial independence. Unlike explorers of yesteryear, you'll have a map to follow instead of relying on a compass and a North Star. Get the Red Book of U.S. coins and you'll begin your journey to total financial freedom. Right now, Midas Resources is offering the 2005 edition of the Red Book, along with a silver dollar, for only $22.95. Call them today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. I can tell you there'll be storms ahead, but with real money as your base, liberty will be your fate. Leave the fiat currency behind and call Midas Resources to get your Red Book along with that silver dollar for only $22.95. Get the map. Start your journey to financial independence today. The time is now. Call 800-686-2237. Get your Red Book now and you'll weather any storm that comes your way.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want, where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now 1-800-419-WORD. That's 419-WORD. 1-800-419-WORD.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones. You know that Berkey water filters have become the standard of excellence by which all other water filtration systems are measured. The Berkey Light gives you the freshest, cleanest water possible from the world's most revolutionary water filtration system. The self-sterilizing black Berkey elements remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, volatile organic chemicals, trihalomethanes, radon 222, and much, much more. Its rechargeable 8-lamp bright white LED lighting system provides the ideal source of emergency light. The lights can run all night on a single charge, and it is bright enough to read by. This provides a relaxing and ambient night light that allows for optimum use during emergency conditions. The Berkey Light's revolutionary transparent design takes the guesswork out of refilling because you can see the water level at all times. Get the Berkey Light, the standard of excellence, for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll free at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
Heart disease continues to be the leading cause of death in America. Why? Haven't people heard about the positive effects of Cardivite? Cardivite drops and capsules were designed to improve your cardiovascular health and circulatory well-being. The all-natural ingredients in Cardivite begin immediately working to increase metabolism in your heart muscle tissue, mitigating heart rhythm abnormalities, and improving oxygen and blood flow in the heart. Right now, as a special for GCN listeners, you'll get a 4-month supply for only $99 plus shipping, a 30% savings off the regular price. This offer is only for a limited time, so call now 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite drops and capsules may help improve your circulation and cardiovascular health, but that's up to you. Take the first step with Cardivite. Call toll free 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com for more information. Don't let heart disease beat you. Beat the odds and do your body right with Cardivite.
You know, we're told that all these new technologies are, well, just like the buggy whip makers getting angry at automobiles as they became popular in the first 20 years of the last century. And that, oh, it's just the next phase of human evolution, this merger with machine. And I've got Pentagon documents from 2000 where they say everyone's going to have a brain chip and there's going to be hive minds, all of us connected. But all these precursors to this technology that are being put into track and trace and control, that's how all this is being implemented. And Dr. Hughes, I mean, how do you respond to that? The government out of the gates is engaging in really bad applications of some of the building blocks of the future you're talking about.
Well, I am concerned about some of the Defense Department research and applications. I think the main thing that's problematic about that is that so much is being done without the transparency of public disclosure. We know from the Gulf War syndrome and from other health problems of U.S. soldiers who return from the field that research is being done on their bodies that that they're not being fully informed about and that they're having long-term health consequences.
And so then it comes out that they were doing experimental programs on them, which is totally illegal. I mean, even if you're in the military, you have the right to not be experimented on, and they don't care.
I completely agree, and I think that the U.S. military needs to be held to a higher standard about that kind of medical research and that we need to know what's going on because there is a problem about an asymmetry between a public that doesn't have access to these technologies and a military and police state that does.
Well, the military is a perfect testing zone because you give the troops stuff that makes them sick, then they come back to your VA for treatment, and you get to track what's really happening to them. And then you know, they're not rodents, folks, and they're not guinea pigs. But I wanted to get into the future that you see developing because you're one of the world renowned experts on this subject. What type of world do you think we'll live in 20 years?
Well, one of the things that makes this kind of prediction extremely difficult is the rapid acceleration in all of the technological trends and scientific developments that are leading in the direction of human enhancement. For instance, nanotechnology is happening much more rapidly than most of the people in the field expected it would. And now we do have the prospect within about 20 or 30 years of having nanorobotic systems that could do quite dramatic things inside our bodies. Similarly, the sequencing of the human genome happened much more rapidly than had earlier been predicted, and now within 10 years we're going to have on-the-spot full genome diagnosis available in every doctor's office, maybe as a security system on your door. We're also going to have on-the-spot chromosome genetic engineering machines that can read out new chromosomes for various kinds of tailored purposes. That's going to happen in about 10 or 15 years. So you start to converge all of these technologies, things that are happening at the molecular level, things that are happening in information science, the Moore's Law, the rapid increase in computing power, our understanding of the functioning of the brain, our understanding of pharmacology, all of these things are coming together, and we're going to have some pretty dramatic benefits. Now,
so a fusion of the third and fourth wave with this exponential growth curve, it's almost unlimited.
If you take the positive projection of what could happen, I think we could have quite dramatic increases in our life expectancy. We could see an almost elimination of mental illness. We could see an elimination of mental retardation. We could see.
There you go. Who says what is mentally ill? I mean, the new Freedom Initiative that Bush just passed, their own documents say they plan to put half the kids on drugs. Look, half our children aren't mentally ill. And these drugs are horrible. I mean, all their own internal documents show that. So, see, I don't want the crazy people telling me who's crazy.
Well, I assume as a conservative that you're in favor of allowing parents to make those decisions with their doctors. So,
but it's not. But under New Freedom, they have you heard about New Freedom?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is a strong concern about when governments and schools collide with parents about what should be done about the medical treatment of children. But it's really a different issue than what I'm concerned about, because what I'm principally concerned about is that all adults should have access to whatever medicines they think help them live better lives. And so I am concerned about pediatric medication. My kids are on Concerta, which is a version of Ritalin. I was on Ritalin as a kid. I found it helped a lot with being able to get through school in ways that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to do. So I think a lot of parents will find that Ritalin helps their kids, but I think it should be a family decision.
So you think the drug company's writing up the guidelines and saying half the kids need to be on this stuff?
Well, what the American...
And how did humans survive without Ritalin trees?
The American Academy of Pediatrics thinks that about 5 to 10% of kids can benefit from stimulant medications for attention deficit disorder, and only about 4 to 5% of American kids are on stimulant medication.
Actually, well, yeah, but total with the serotonin reuptake inhibitors and then the amphetamine class drugs, you got 15% on drugs, sir. Tell you what, I'll stay there. Long segment coming up, plenty of time to talk. I want to get more into what the future is going to look like.
We're on the march.
The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
With gardening season coming up, you'll soon be building your compost pile. And that's why there's a great gardening tool I have to tell you about. It's called the Compost Twin. Gardeners know the importance of composting, but we're all too familiar with the backbreaking work of turning the compost pile with a pitchfork and the messy accumulation of kitchen scraps while you wait for a batch of compost to cook. So Mantis developed the Compost Twin. The Compost Twin is the only composter with two 10-bushel bins on one machine. The barrels sit well off the ground and away from the pests that feast on your compost pile for Sunday dinner. Plus, mixing the compost is a breeze with the Compost Twin's easy turn gear system. And with a second chamber, you can continually add kitchen scraps and garden waste without disturbing the composting process in the first chamber. No more mess, no more odors, no more hard work. Deal direct with Mantis and get a no-hassle one-year money-back guarantee. Call Mantis now for a free video and information kit on the Compost Twin. Call toll-free 1-866-833-MANTIS. That's 1-866-833-MANTIS.
Now you can enjoy the most delicious, freshest, and healthiest drinking water anytime, even while traveling, during outdoor sporting activities, and in hospital filtration environments such as local or national emergencies. The revolutionary Berkey Light removes pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful or unwanted chemicals to below detectable levels. It also removes foul tastes and odors like that rotten egg smell of sulfide, and it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving in the healthful and nutritional minerals your body needs. The Berkey Light is so powerful it can purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes, streams, and stagnant ponds. The Berkey Light is transparent and glows in the dark with its rechargeable LED lighting system, so it can be used as a night light or camp light. Get the Berkey Light for only $259 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Many people have wondered what has happened to the once great United States of America, why the moral decay that has been taking place within it. The United States has been targeted for overthrow for world government. The United Nations has been established to redistribute the wealth of the world away from the United States, Great Britain, and Western Europe. You need to know, as a specific individual citizen of the United States of America, why these things are happening and what you can do about it. We'd like to offer you a one-year, absolutely free subscription to Newswatch magazine. Just call 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Just call today. Our operators are standing by to take your subscription. It's absolutely free.
The discussions we have during the breaks are better than what happens on air, but I was just talking to Dr. James Hughes, who's a sociologist by training and a professor and author and a lecturer, and he's the head honcho, executive director of the World Transhumanist Association. During the break, Doc, you were telling me how you're a big fan of drugs and kind of taking control of the human evolutionary process, and we were talking about the New Freedom Initiative and this universal screening. Please repeat what you were saying during the break, sir.
Well, I think that in the future, one of the things that we're going to have is increasing numbers of technologies that allow us to control our own brain chemistry. And the critical issue, and the place where you and I, I'm sure, agree, is that people should be able to make those decisions for themselves and not be told by others, by governments, insofar as possible, what to do with their own brains and what to do with their own brain chemistry. So in the cases of, for instance, depression, I'm sure you agree that some people benefit from these depressive drugs, and the question is whether individuals get to make those decisions or whether they're under some kind of coercion. I certainly don't want to see any kind of coercion. But I'm not sure that I agree that a universal government public health screening program for mental illness is necessarily coercive, but it could be coercive.
It is. I mean, I've seen hundreds of reports where they force children on these drugs. There was a WOAI TV report a few months ago where the average Texas foster child, over two-thirds are on drugs, and the average is four drugs, some as many as 17 drugs. And And I know for a fact Ritalin causes brain shrinkage, heart enlargement. I mean, these are the medical studies done by the institutions, and you're saying you're a big fan of it.
Well, Ritalin's been in use for 50 years. Originally, it was
called, look at our society.
Well, originally it was called minimal brain dysfunction that was being treated for, and then it was called hyperactivity. And I was, as I said, I was on Ritalin 40 years ago. So there's like a whole lot of evidence about what Ritalin can and can't do, and what harmful effects it can have. And you're right that the abuse of stimulants by people who are not prescribed them in the doses that are used in pediatric treatment, it can have harmful effects, and that's something we have to keep an eye on.
Well, Doctor, you're a big supporter of drugs, as you said, to take control of the human mind if it's individually a decision. But what drugs are you on?
Oh, well, I have acid reflux, so I take that. I mean, what drugs, psychoactive drugs am I on?
Yes.
I drink my red wine in the evening. That's my big health my big health effect there.
Yeah, that's why they lived to 115 over in Italy, huh?
Right.
Yeah, certainly there have been some studies on that. I believe you there. But, okay, I want to get into, because I hear these futurists on the radio, I read their reports, I've read what you've said. I mean, I've heard you guys say, well, the body modification movement, you know, that's paving the way to the acceptance of these cyborg, this new life form. People are already declaring themselves, that professor in England, a new life form. We know the military's doing a lot of secret projects, and I've talked to people who are involved in them, only described as nightmarish. But how soon do you think we see a real, as you call it, new species?
Well, it depends on what you mean by species. I mean, the classical definition of a species is an animal that can't breed with another animal, and I think that we're going to soon be able to have people who ordinarily wouldn't be able to have natural offspring will be able to have offspring through the intercession of technology. So, for instance, I think that we'll be able to have same-sex children who are the products of both a man and a man or a woman and a woman through recombinant nuclear technology. So I don't think that actually the traditional understanding of what a species is will be relevant very much longer. But there are some suggestions that people might translate out of carbon-based life form altogether and become, computer-based minds, and that would certainly constitute a species change.
You know, even as the computers get more and more advanced, I don't think that they're going to become truly, what you'd call self-aware for a long, long time. I think that we're going to see the government and others merging, brain tissue grown from fetuses in with the machines and calling it a machine.
I think you're probably right, actually. I think that the challenge of generating a self-aware, self-willed personality inside a machine are much greater than any of the AI enthusiasts think. But that what we are going to have is an increasingly intimate marriage of computer technology with neural technology. And you saw this just last year. The FDA approved for people who have severe paralysis a chip that can be inserted into their brain that can communicate directly from their brain into computers.
Yeah, the nerve stimulator.
Right. Well, not just the stimulator. There's stimulation going towards the brain, but there's also a chip now that allows the brain to control a cursor in a computer. And of course, this is a tremendous boon for people who have severe paralysis because otherwise they would be trapped inside a body and not be able to communicate for as long as 15, 20 years.
What about 20, 30 years from now where, say, 20% of the public, mainly young people, because it'll be packaged as some rebellious, trendy thing to do. Your parents don't want you to get it, but they pass a global law that you're allowed to go in and, be fitted with the new brain chip to interact. And the military says you've got to have this to have, to work with us. And then pretty soon you've got two different classes of people. And then those Christians, they refuse to go along with it. And they're living in ghettos because, they're refusing. And we're having to pay for them. And, they're just backwards. And let's just get rid of them.
Well, I don't see us getting rid of the Amish. The Amish have rejected all kinds of technologies and are actually quite genetically different from the people around them because of interbreeding, but yet they're not being subject to any kind of genocide. But I do think that there is...
Actually, they're getting put under the squeeze right now by social services and...
Well, there's some legitimate questions about how far the rest of us need to bend over backward, and that is where your question comes in. So, for instance, Do people have a right not to be required to know how to read when they go for a job? I think it's perfectly acceptable for employers to expect that their employees, their prospective employees,
yeah,
will
so
know how
in the
to
future
read.
You got to have the chip. Yeah.
So yeah.
The rest of us shouldn't have to bend over backwards for you. So you just say it's an individual decision. Then you extrapolate out right into it's going to be reasonable. We're going to have the chip.
Well, you're saying that employers should be forbidden to expect that people have certain
but because
kinds
of the
skills.
Trump card that these technologies give people and the corporations consolidation, they're going
to
be.
I don't think you want the government passing a law that says that employers are not allowed to ask that people know how to read when they come for a job.
Yeah, but you just talked about chips.
Right. Well, I'm saying that in the future, if certain kinds of technologies become widely available and dramatically increase the performance of potential workers, then people may feel a little bit of coercion to go and get that. Just as, 50 years ago, or maybe 500 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to see very well without my glasses. And today, if I tried to go for a job and didn't have glasses, I wouldn't be able to do very much.
The analogy of putting glasses on your nose and taking a brain chip is light years apart.
Well, how about wearing your prosthetic limb in the workplace? Already we have a debate about what exactly constitutes a disability under the law.
I have no problem with, intelligent artificial limbs. That's different than saying you've got to put something into your brain.
It isn't different because already we have people with disabilities who go into the workplace and say, under the Americans with Disability Act, you're not allowed to fire me because although I could put that prosthetic limb on, I want you to give me a wheelchair.
What I'm talking about is this technocrat elite, which you obviously are part of, and this future.
I wish I could get paid by the technocrat elite.
Well, let me just finish this. What's going to happen? This is going to happen because it always happens. It's the way our society works. What's going to happen is they're going to build the infrastructure. The rapidly expanding infrastructure that's going to overlay the current infrastructure in the fourth wave, they're going to put the infrastructure in where it's designed for the wireheads, the cyberpunks, and we're all going to be second-class citizens, and we're going to have our children taken from us because we're backwards kooks who don't want the chips, and it's going to be a hellhole, and it's going to have control designed into it because that's what the states always wanted, and you're for the state ordering psychological testing when they're going to write the guidelines. And it's out of control. This elite is evil, sir. This elite has done so many evil things. You just mentioned what they do to the troops. They're going to control this.
Well, I think there's always going to be a question about what constitutes child abuse. And right now, our society leans over backwards to respect the rights of parents who have kooky religious beliefs who want to beat
their
kids.
There you go.
And those kinds of things, I think there is a legitimate question about whether parents who don't teach their kids to read are committing child abuse or not. And in the future, not giving your kids certain kinds of medicines and enhancements may be considered child abuse.
Just like in THX-1138, he's bad. He's caught taking injectors off the little children, and so they need to chase him down.
Well, that's clearly not the future any of us want to live in.
Look at real life, sir. It's pretty darn dystopic.
Well, I think that, again...
for the coddled 4% living here in America and the total 10% living in European nations.
Where you and I probably are on the same page is that we want as much individual choice over these things as possible. We don't want to see a coercive dystopian
But you just society. Said you just said that it will be basically abusive to not give your child the ZM12 brain chip.
What I'm saying is that for all of your listeners, I'm sure that there is some point at which they consider child abuse committed by some parent towards their kid to be so severe that that kid needs to be taken away from that parent.
They won't give them the medications they need.
Well, if the medication is life-saving, I think most of your listeners probably would agree that the state has a right to intervene and say, look, you have to save your kid's life. And
What do your colleagues think of your ideas and your work at the college?
Most of them don't seem to have a problem with it. I'm always itching for a good argument, but I haven't found one here. I used to get more arguments in graduate school at the University of Chicago, where folks were a little bit more conservative.
Well, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Professor Dr. Hughes. I'm sitting here and you keep talking, you keep putting out the statement that nothing should be coercive, and it's kind of like Waco when they're ramming the tank into the church going, this is not an assault. And then you come right back with, well, if you're not giving your child the drugs they need, or, yeah, the chip they need, yeah, I might need to take them. I mean, well, it's not backwards and weird if I don't want a chip in my brain.
Well, I'm talking about non-coercion, there's principally for adults. With children, we always have the question about what the proper balance is between parents' rights and society's right to protect kids from parents. And I think that all of your listeners would find that there are some kids who need to be protected from their parents.
So we see where this is going. Society, well, I mean, Dr. Phil says the state owns the kids.
Well, I don't agree with Dr. Phil.
You know something? I mean, this is unbelievable. You know something? I'm always interested in people by the art, by the fruits, by what they produce. You mind telling us, because it's on your website, your organization, tell us about your wife's artwork.
My wife has long been interested in the intersection between maternity and domesticity and domestic life. Her mother was a physical anatomist who studied teeth. So my wife's done a lot of art about the human body and in particular about birth.
And I, for folks that haven't had the pleasure of seeing some of the art, tell us about an average piece.
Well, one of her pieces was that she kept track of every lunch that she prepared for our kids over the course of 2 years. And then she made a series of lunch bags, one series out of lead, one series out of paper, one series out of glycerin soap, and then had these in installations in various galleries lined up or scattered around.
How about the ones with the teeth and the hair and the umbilical cords?
Well, the teeth project, again, is kind of a pay-on to her mother, who studied the evolution of Native American teeth. But in my wife's case, she took casts of our kids' teeth as they fell out over the course of their, you know, 5-year-old to 10-year-old selves, and then cast them into silver and had a series of teeth on the wall cast in silver that showed that evolution of their mouths.
And what's the umbilical cord part?
Well, the umbilical cord, of course, has always been a profoundly spiritual symbol in a lot of different cultures. And so she kept the umbilical. We had our kids at home because we're very critical of obstetric practice, and she kept the umbilical cord.
But you want the state to have more psychological testing.
Well, I think the state has a role in encouraging public health, subsidizing various kinds of...
But you don't trust them to have your children at the facility.
Well, the state didn't have very much to do with that. I mean, we had private health insurance, and the private health insurance would either pay for a midwife to come to our house, or we could go
to
the hospital.
But I'm trying to get this, doctor. See, that's what I mean. You don't trust the government, which I think is pretty reasonable, to have your children at their facility.
Well, the government wasn't offering to come and deliver my kids, either at the home or at the hospital. It's a matter of us deciding where to have our kids.
You know what I mean. The government sets the standards and...
Well, I think, I think the government has legitimate reason to say that certain kinds of people can practice medicine and others can't. And it has a legitimate reason to say that you can deliver kids. You can't deliver them in the street. You have to deliver them.
You know, Doc, I think you're talking yourself in circles here.
I think I'm trying to make a point that the government has legitimate rights to set certain kinds of regulation for medical practice. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether there's a legitimate right for me to have my kids at home. If the government were to say I couldn't have my kids at home, then I would have to fight that law. But the government allowed me to have my kids at home.
So you see yourself as a, they're phasing that out, though. You see yourself as a pioneer, I would guess.
I think we're all pioneers. This time of history, it's hard not to be a pioneer.
Well, you know, I find you to be an intriguing individual, and I appreciate your honesty with us. I just, out of the gates, I see all these applications being used for the bad, not for the good, and I don't see choice being involved. I see choice being phased out quite rapidly, and I think that, you know, discussions of taking people's children because they won't put them on the drugs that would advance them. I don't buy the school of thought.
No one's proposing that, but it's your hypothetical.
Well, they are taking people's children by the thousands that won't put them on drugs.
I think that we do have we have to have this debate because no matter I don't care you know how extreme your guest or your listener is, there's some point at which they think a parent.
But who governs who is extreme? Hold on a minute. Who governs who is extreme? You want to have this moral relativist stuff?
I'm not casting aspersions about your listeners. I'm just saying all of your
but
listeners...
But who sets the parameter of what's extreme, Professor?
All of your listeners have some point at which they think apparently...
But who sets... Well, let me ask you a question. Who sets the parameters of what's extreme? The almighty government, who I say is extremely evil.
Well, okay, but that's fine. But if someone's walking down the street gibbering to themselves, I think that we have a responsibility, a compassionate responsibility as a society, to go up to that person and try to figure out how we can keep them from hurting themselves and hurting others.
Well, they're not hurting themselves. I say leave them alone. And I think some of the nuttiest people in the world are running the nut houses.
Okay, that's fine. But what I still think that most of us would agree that we have a social responsibility to have a government to stop crime and to make sure that people who are in severe need have what they need. And I think that what you seem to be really worked up about is this government plan to do mental health screening. And I understand why you're worked up about that. But I think that the question of whether the government has an obligation to figure out how much mental illness there is in our society and what we can do about it, I think that's obvious.
Sir, I have the government documents, and I've had former folks that were, you know, number two Department of Education, where they were in meetings where the plan is to dumb our kids down.
Well,
I
believe very bad things about the Bush administration, but that's not one of the things I believe.
Well, I mean, it's not belief, sir. It's their documents. It's not the Bush administration. It's all of them.
Every institution in our government right now is controlled by the Republican Party. So
yeah, well, stay there, Professor. It's just unbelievable. We'll be right back at InfoWars.com.
What really happened September 11th, and who stands to gain? Alex Jones here, America. We answer these vital questions and much, much more in my newest and most explosive documentary yet, 911, The Road to Tyranny. In 2 hours and 24 minutes, we point a searing light of truth on the history of problem reaction solution. Brace yourselves as the New World Order program for world domination is blown wide open. A nightmarish post-September 11th world where the military and the police are merged. Witnesses populations beg for national ID cards and, yes, even implantable microchips. Troops on the streets, foreign NATO aircraft in the skies. Psychotic UN population control plans, and much, much more. This is one film you cannot afford to miss. Order 911 The Road to Tyranny today. Call toll-free 1-888-253-3139. That's 1-888-253-3139. Or order online at InfoWars.com or InfoWars.net. You see, Big Brother's afraid of this documentary. Order today and spread the word. America's future depends on the truth getting out.
The illuminated Berkey base allows most gravity filters to be used in the center of a table by raising the spigot level. Made of durable Lexan polymer, the same material used for bulletproof glass, it has 8 LED lamps. Incredibly, the low-energy LEDs will last for more than 11 years of continuous use and are bright enough to be spotted for over a mile in the dark. The LED lamps are powered by an AC adapter, and during emergencies, the rechargeable batteries will operate them all night long. When the LEDs are switched off, the AC adapter automatically recharges the batteries. The Berkey base is available in gorgeous cobalt blue or practical bright white LEDs, ideal as an emergency light, flashlight, or nightlight. Get the illuminated Berkey base for only $69, or get both white and blue for only $125 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Herbal Healer Academy is a global supplier of the finest natural medicine that you may need in these troubled times. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECAC, colloidal silver, 500 parts per million, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for contrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning, to name a few. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. For a limited time, you can sign up on the website and receive our 104-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com. Check out our online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. We have been working hard since 1988 to save the remnant. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education.
The doctor has agreed to stay with us into the next hour. Here's the toll-free number, 1-800-259-9231. 1-800-259-9231. We're going to go back to the doctor here in just a moment and plug his book. Before we do that, I want every single one of you out there listening to realize that we've got to counter the mass of people that believe the government does no wrong and is loving and good. You need to get 9/11 The Road to Tyranny to find out the truth about 9/11 and expose how it was truly perpetrated. Part two of that, The Masters of Terror Exposed. George Humphrey's great video that I carry, 9/11 The Great Illusion. Eric Hupschmidt's film, 9/11 Painful Deceptions. And Paul Watson's book, 300-plus page, Order Out of Chaos, Elite-Sponsored Terror, and the New World Order. Now, there is a toll-free number to get these films. Got big discounts going on them right now. Just call and ask about the discounts, as low as $5.95 per DVD. We got deals where you buy a video, get free books. 1-888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. Or you can simply write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Or, of course, order via the Secure Safe shopping carts at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. You can watch clips of the films, read about them, look at the different specials there as well. Or PrisonPlanet.tv with our secure online shopping cart. You can go there and sign up, 15 cents a day, to watch any of the films, all the films, read the books online, the special audio reports, all of it. PrisonPlanet.tv as we fight the construction of the prison planet. Now, going back to Dr. James J. Hughes, who's the executive director of the World Transhumanist Association, Mr. Hughes, again, talking to you during the break, you talk about all this freedom and liberty and doing all of this, and then, you know, I said to you, well, it's not natural for children to be on drugs. You said, well, death isn't natural anymore at 40. You know, it shouldn't be. Well, to make the comparison between something like that and people being forced on drugs en masse is ridiculous. Then that gives the state total control over controlling those drugs and how they're distributed and everybody being an addict. But then on top of that, Professor, we then have the fact that let's say we had an angelic government right now. We're building mechanisms of total tyranny, and tyranny always takes control of those mechanisms. Your comments to that, and tell us about your book.
Well, my book is called Citizen Cyborg, and it's it reviews in the first third of the book the technologies and how rapidly they're going to come upon us for human enhancement. And then I outline the different political factions that are beginning to shape up on the right and the left opposed to and in favor of these technologies and the different arguments that they use about them. And then I propose a series of public policies in the latter part of the book about how to regulate these technologies to ensure that they're safe and universally available and empower people and don't increase the amount of tyranny in our society. So,
if you take a liberal country like Germany, I bet you like their laws. They're saying to women, you're a 25-year-old computer programmer. You want your unemployment check. You've got to go be a prostitute and serve as 10 men a day because there's no morals anymore and there's no moral compass. And, you know, humans, it used to be natural for a woman to, you know, have love with a man, but love doesn't even exist anymore. That's just some chemical in the brain. And so you go have sex with 10 men a day.
Well, I have seen the argument of why you think that the German social policy would lead that direction.
You didn't hear?
I heard. I'm for the legalization of sex work as they have in Holland because I think that.
And then, well, they were legalized both. And then telling her you don't get your unemployment unless you go take this job.
That only happens when you have coercive workfare policies, as were instituted here in the States, where you tell women who have three kids that they have to go out and find a job and they can't stay home.
Yeah, but Germany's doing it. They're ordering women. Talk about destructive. I don't want to have sex with people I don't know.
Well,
this is dehumanizing. We are human beings.
I think you should have complete
Berkey.